Welcome back. I'm Dave Congleton. We're just moving. Still to come on this broadcast, Michelle Duster at 4:05, Tommy Gong at 5:05, Matt Hoy at 5:35. Next up, our community spotlight. We turn to our friends at the Monday Club, where they're getting ready to stage a production called Becoming Julia Morgan. We start with Lisa Guy from the Monday Club. Lisa, good afternoon. Nice to see you.
Hi, Dave.
And we have the co-star of Becoming Julia Morgan, Julia Morgan herself, Mara Pearl. Mara, nice to see you again.
You too, Dave.
Thanks for coming in. Give us the overview, Lisa. What are the dates, ticket information for Becoming Julia Morgan?
All right. Well, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have this fabulous production Friday evening at 8 o'clock, and we are going to sell out. So I recommend people get their tickets quickly. We have 39 general membership tickets available for Friday, Saturday, 8 p.m., Sunday, 3 p.m.
And at the Monday Club?
At the Monday Club.
Remind folks where it's at, please.
1815 Monterey, across from the Vets Hall.
So you're right there at the intersection of Grand of Monterey.
Right.
Okay. And how am I buying my tickets?
You can buy them online at themondayclubslow.org.
Is this the first time you've done a production like this?
It is.
What made you put your feet into the water like this?
Our president last year, Cindy Runstrom, found this play and was really excited about it and brought the proposal to the board. And Linda Wilson was on the board at the time. She was excited about it. She wanted to take it on, and she knows Mara Pearl and talked to her, and Mara was excited also.
So, Mara, how did you get involved? What was the hook to get you involved with this?
First, working with Linda Wilson. I've worked with her before. I admire her as a director. And I love the Monday Club. Have done a couple of events there previously. So to have a chance to portray this icon of the Central Coast and take on this very large starring role, great challenge and a great group to work with. So it was a no-brainer. It was a 30-second think and then a yes.
Talk about your co-star, Christopher.
This production has several co-stars. Christopher and I have actually co-starred in a two-hander called Sea Marks, a wonderful play by Gardner McKay. That play brought both Christopher and I to the Central Coast for the first time in the 1980s. We had a great success with that play, went on to have other, you know, career opportunities, and our paths diverged. We got back in touch in 2015 and were invited to do a reprisal of that play. So we've now done it six times in several different locations and very much enjoy working together in a play like that, where you're really relying on two people. This time around, the play is mostly on my shoulders. This is the story as told by Julia, about Julia, and I have to become her, and I'm almost there. I'll be there by Friday.
I was going to say, you're up against the wall there.
I am.
Talk a little bit about your preparation. How do you go about becoming Julia Morgan?
This is a layered play, and you look for subtext. Every good play has it, and that's the joy of being an actor. So it's in the words, but then it's also really in the intention behind the words. This story takes us backwards and forwards in time. We see her as a top professional, astonishingly so, the first woman to receive an architect's license in California. She builds 700 buildings here over the course of her career. Then we go back in time to her as a precocious student who just loved to study and loved nothing else, really, and just didn't fit into the normal pattern of life that her parents had planned for her, marriage and family and so forth. She had enough teachers who noticed her talents, that they mentored her and pushed her to go ahead and work for this architectural career. So she was the first woman admitted to the École des Beaux-Arts in Paris. So she was a tremendously unusual talent, and she was a big philanthropist in her own quiet way, that she mentored other people, gave scholarships, hired women when women weren't being hired in this job. So she was a real trailblazer. Someone recently said she was breaking glass ceilings even as she was building them.
I like that line.
Yes.
Lisa, also we should remind folks of the connection between the Monday Club and Julia Morgan.
Yeah, Julia Morgan is our idol. The more we know about her, the more amazed and impressed we are. She designed our clubhouse And the ladies of the Monday Club found out about her. Steve Zagar was giving her a ride out in his taxi to Hearst Castle, and they arranged a meeting and talked to her. And as Mara said, she had an interest in helping women. And the Women's Club, the Monday Club, which is now a 93-year-old club, they had big plans for San Luis Obispo, and they really wanted to enhance the culture and the civic mindedness. And so Julia Morgan liked what they were doing, and she agreed to help. And so instead of the $800 fee that she would have charged, the women housed her. They gave her room and board.
$800.
And she designed our clubhouse.
And talk a little bit about the design. I know you're not an architectural person, but just in general, what makes that building so special, other than it's designed by Julia Morgan?
She had this wonderful gift of talking to her clients and finding out what exactly it was they wanted. And we have heard that this was something that people talked about and said, oh, she was not that great of an architect. All of her designs, you can't tell they're hers. Instead of like a Frank Lloyd Wright, you can always tell it's his architecture. Her buildings were tailored to the client. And the ladies of the Monday Club must have wanted something that was had a feeling of a gazebo, an outdoor space. And she really tries to bring the outside in. We have these gorgeous windows, which was interesting. Over time, the ladies thought some of the things that she'd done weren't in style anymore. So And the windows were painted over. The walls were covered. We have these beautiful murals that she had designed of loquat trees that she fell in love with in the Monday Club. The ladies had covered them with burlap at one point. Thankfully, they didn't paint them over. But we have transom windows. The idea is to let the air flow through the building, the light flow through the building. And so we've been working hard to bring it back to how she had intended
it. It's a beautiful building, isn't it?
It is.
Beautiful building.
She also had an abiding principle called the golden mean, the golden ratio. And she based really all her work on that. And it's about proportion. And she agreed with the ancient Greeks, the ancient Egyptians, that this was the greatest possibility of beauty, was this kind of dimensionality and spatial relationships. She mixed styles, which most architects did not do at the time. So, as Lisa said, she was a listener, a real listener. You know, she never actually had her own home. She
really?
Just would live wherever she was working, and I think really psychologically, physically inhabit that space until she understood it so well, and then would move on to her next project.
Why didn't she have a home, Mara?
I think it wasn't important to her. It wasn't important to her to dress beautifully. She didn't want attention drawn to herself. She wanted her buildings to speak for her. She really put herself into her buildings, which is why I sort of feel she's there with us now. She's, if you will, haunting that building. I just feel her presence.
I want to hear more about the actual play itself, Becoming Julia Morgan. Who wrote it?
Belinda Taylor. And I must say, it is a triumph. She has obviously done enough research to have written a nonfiction treatise and then so cleverly structured it so that this character is revealed through action and through relationships.
I have to ask, what's your secret? Because I'm going to gather there's large pieces of text here. What's your secret to memorizing such a big part?
I think you just have to flow into the reasons, the motives, the ideas behind the words and marry them to the actions and the interactions that occur in the play. I mean, there's a lot of just sitting in the chair, rote memorization, to be sure. And it's tough. It's 80 pages of dialogue. I'm off stage for all of 30 seconds, I think, during this whole production.
Wow.
And the costume changes are very tricky for that reason.
Yeah.
But it's also more than that. It's the words have to be connected to the thoughts and the feelings. And once you get those that connective tissue, you're no longer really memorizing. You're in the flow of the ideas.
Have either one of you been, not to Hearst Castle, but at the castle, behind the castle to see her shed?
I have not.
No.
It's interesting because, you know, for years you could go to Hearst Castle and there was very regimented tours.
You
know, 1, 2, 3, 4. But then they stopped that and you can go up and take the tour, but then you can wander around on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And next time you're up there, Mara, you got to do this. You walk behind the castle and there attached to the wall is a small shed, wooden shed. Oh, maybe as big as that corner over there. I mean, maybe three people can stand in it.
Wow.
And what is that? That's her office.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
I've heard of it, and I didn't realize it was still.
Oh, I'm going to go.
It's just there's an open window, and there's a drawing board, and that was her office.
Wow.
And you're struck by two things, at least I was. And number one, it's so simple.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy.
Yeah.
And two, where it is. It's out back. It's not part of the big castle. That's where she just wanted to be. She was away from the swimming pool and the guest houses. She was as far away from all that that she could be.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't see that until they changed their policies.
Oh, that's great that they've opened it up. I mean, it just shows you her simplicity is about as far away from the Hearst Castle as it could possibly be.
Yeah.
And yet she never was uncomfortable with what Hearst wanted to create. She was a person who felt she was here to enable other people to realize their dreams, whatever they might be.
Was that her most famous building, Hearst Castle? Was that her?
One of the most famous. I think Asilomar is also very, very well known. And, you know, there are several, but worldwide, it probably is the Hearst Castle.
Yeah. Was there anything in particular, Mara, that surprised you when you did your research, or did you pretty much know everything about Julia Morgan going in?
I didn't know everything about her at all. She lived in Paris for many years. I think I would have assumed she'd have been a very stylish dresser, almost by default, because of that. And she just dressed so simply. I think she had about three or four things that she wore, and that was about it. That wasn't what was important to her, and yet beauty was her core guiding principle. She says in the play that her life has been about creating beauty and that she's given it her all.
We're talking about the production called Becoming Julia Morgan. As we break away, Lisa Guy, let's remind folks what's happening this weekend.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have performances. Friday and Saturday are at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Monday Club.
And I'm getting my tickets how?
Online, themondayclubslow.org.
Is this a... high school students, can high school students appreciate this?
Oh,
yes.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you got high school students in your family, you should bring them along with you.
Definitely.
I think they'd be fascinated. They might go home and write papers about this, really.
There we go. All right.
Yeah.
Welcome back and chat some more. I'm Dave Congleton. This is AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Michelle Doster during the 4 o'clock hour, Tommy Gong, our county clerk recorder at 5:05, and Matt Hoy will talk more about guns in Vegas at 5:35. That will take us all the way up to 7 o'clock. Check out our website, please, at 920kvec.com. We stream live on the internet. We also podcast. So if you miss any part of today's show or recent shows, such as the conversation we had yesterday about Vegas, is there waiting for you at 920kvec.com. Meanwhile, we're back with our friends from the Monday Club here in San Luis Obispo, Lisa Guy, Mara Pearl. The production is Becoming Julia Morgan. Lisa, again, let's remind folks about ticket information.
We have a great play you will want to come and see this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday are 8 p.m., Sunday at 3, and you can get your tickets. They're $25 for general admission online at themondayclubslow.org. I want to mention that we have some VIP tickets available still.
What do I get with my VIP ticket?
You get a front center stage seat, very comfortable, little bistro table, and you get a bottle of wine, and you just have the best view. And then at the end, you get to go back and meet the playwright on Friday evening. Belinda Taylor will be there. And then Saturday and Sunday, we'll also have a VIP reception with our VIP sponsors and our board and the cast will be there.
Sounds like a good time will be had by all.
Yes.
Now, can I get the VIP tickets online too?
You can. And those are $100.
Before I go any further, Craig Hill, let's make sure we give out a pair of tickets here. You want to make this for any particular show? You just want to negotiate that with the winner?
We can negotiate that with the winner. We may have sold out.
Sure. Any show not sold out.
Correct.
Let's do it that way. Mm-hmm. All right. How would you like two free tickets to go this weekend to see Becoming Julia Morgan at the Monday Club, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? Good time will be had by all. We'll send you right here right now if you're caller number 5-543-8830. That's 543-8830. to see Becoming Julia Morgan, the story of Julia Morgan. And you were telling me during the break, Mara, that she actually is known for having a sense of humor.
Well, that's what Belinda brings out in the play, which has been one of the most delightful things. I think everything we've mentioned so far makes Julia seem terribly serious. And, of course, she really was a brainiac. She was a genius of a woman. She was equally skilled in art and science. She had an engineering degree. So she would climb around on her big ladders and scaffoldings and oversee details of construction herself, another thing not done by women at the time.
Right.
But she had no romantic involvements that people know about during her life. She, however, was very close to her family, and particularly to her brother, Avery. He hired him to work for her for a number of years. And several of the scenes reveal a marvelous sense of wry humor, where she doesn't take herself so seriously.
Right. Let me jump in, if I may. So we have Joan in Atascadero on KVEC. Hi, Joan.
Hello.
Hi, Joan. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What makes you want to come see this play?
Well, my daughter just got a degree in architecture. So
fantastic.
There we go.
I could bring her with me, but she's in Portland, so that won't happen.
All right. But now you have something to talk about with her. I love it.
That's right.
All right, Joan, hang on. Craig will take your information. We appreciate you listening to KVEC, and thank you for making the tickets available. So she had a great sense of humor. She was very serious about her work. She wasn't romantically inclined at all. Do you know what made her become an architect?
She has a meeting with her cousin, who is himself an architect and an alum of the École des Beaux-Arts in Paris. She also has a teacher who himself also attended that same school. This cousin says to her, you know, you like both art and math. That means you would make a perfect architect. And it's clear from the dialogue that she'd been struggling with this. What do I do? I love art, but I love math. What can I do with my life? And architecture makes use of both of those, demands that you have mastery, really, of both those sort of sides of your brain. And the light goes on for her, and she says, that's it. Now I know I want to do what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Hmm. How would you characterize her relationship with Hearst?
A very close relationship in this friendship, a joint appreciation of beauty, art, architecture. I think it was great fun for her to have these conversations about the Uffizi, the Raphaels, the Botticelli, his art collection. It was fun for her to do new things. He had seen an open, bare enclosure in Germany and wanted to replicate that. So she creates the first one in America. He flung open doors for her to do outlandish, outrageous things she couldn't have done without someone who had not only the budget, but the vision to try to do these things.
Hmm. I think, Lisa, we should also talk for a few minutes about the Monday Club itself, in case you're looking for new members. How do you explain it to people?
Before I talk about that, I wanted to add one thing, and that really struck me from what I understand about Julia Morgan and William Randolph Hearst. At every dinner that she was present with him, he would have her seated next to him because he would have these ideas. He'd be having this wonderful social dinner, and then suddenly he'd realize something he wanted to do, and he needed to have her right there so he could tell her immediately.
Yeah.
And in the play, she makes sort of a joke about, you know, at the dinners, I sit on his right, Marion Davies sits on his left. I think, again, showing a bit of the humor.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So the Monday Club is actually in kind of a unique position. We are bursting out of our seams. We have so many women who are hearing about us, enjoying the club. They're coming and they're bringing friends, and friends are bringing friends. And we need to start thinking about having a cap to our members because we don't have enough parking and we don't have enough room in our building.
Or so, maybe you need a Wednesday Club.
I think that's what, in the past, the Monday Club membership was up to, I think, in 1928, I read 350 women. So there were 20 different clubs, sections, that they would all meet at different times. The way we do it, we all meet once a month, the first Monday of the month, and we get together as a group. So unless we change what we're doing, we'll have to figure out.
Well, it's good to be busy. It's good to be popular.
It's wonderful.
I understand there are some legacy members, too. Linda Wilson, our director, I believe her grandmother had been a member.
Yes, there, several of our members have that connection.
And some of the projects you do over the year?
So we've added some things. The women's shelter has always been something that we supported, and we're doing more with them and having a nice symbiotic relationship. We offer music and art scholarships, and that's something we've done for years and years. And now we are working with the Community Foundation's Raising a Reader program. So we have members going in to help with pre-kindergarten reading. And that committee has just grown leaps and bounds.
Mara, what's next for you?
I have a new book coming out on October 14th, which concurrently is Indie Author Day, which is a really interesting national event. And I'll be speaking at a big writers conference, Women Writing the West, in Tucson. And I always have writing deadlines. And then I'm in discussion for two plays that may come into production next year.
You're busy. You're going to be at the Indie Day on the 21st?
Actually, I'm sorry to say I will be on to my next commitment by then, but I will hear all about it. I'm involved in this community of writers here in the Central Coast, and there's so many good ones and great events here.
All right, Lisa, one last time, please, let's give out the information for Becoming Julia Morgan.
All right. Buy your tickets online for our Friday, Saturday, and Sunday performances, themondayclubslow.org.
And or the $100 tickets for the VIP treatment.
Tickets, if you're interested in having a
bottle of wine.
A very nice seat with a bottle of wine. And
But didn't Hearst did not drink?
He drank a little bit.
Did Julia Morgan drink?
She, in the play, she gets pretty well snookered on New Year's Eve when it's the turn of the century. But otherwise, I don't think much.
There's a story for her. All right, thanks to Lisa Guy and Mara Pearl. Lisa, final thoughts?
Oh, I just hope that anyone with an interest in the history of women architects, the Monday Club, people interested in seeing a fantastic play, and we're so honored to have Mara Pearl and Christopher Law to be a part of this.
Please, Mara, final thoughts?
Julia is a really special person. I have learned so much and feel I'm a better person for getting to know her. I think anyone who comes to the play will come away with that same impression.
All right, ladies, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Dave.
Off we go. News, traffic, weather, get ready. Michelle Dostere up next.